Hello, I'm ISS Global Head of Research, Georgina Marshall, and welcome to our April podcast covering the current and upcoming 2021 proxy seasons for continental Europe and the UK. On this podcast, you'll hear from two of our European local market experts about emerging trends, significant regulatory developments, some key meetings and agenda items that will impact proxy voting decisions and workflows over the next month or so in the UK and Europe. We'll also identify some upcoming AGMs that will likely become high-profile meetings over the coming weeks. Of course, the 2021 AGM and voting seasons take place in the continuing shadow of the COVID-19 pandemic, as did 2020. Business operations and performance at many companies have had ongoing impacts. In response, many companies under financial pressure have sought means in the last year to shore up their balance sheets and reserves, withdrawing dividends, pausing share buybacks, conducting emergency capital raisings, furloughing, reducing staff, and participating in government-backed support schemes. When we first talked about such measures last year, they were temporary, but are still, of course, continuing to be relevant today in many places. Before we begin proper, let me introduce my colleagues and today's other presenters. First, we'll hear from Agnieszka Walentowicz in Brussels, a frequent Bulletin podcast speaker and head of our Eastern European research team. She will cover the continuing impacts of the pandemic on this year's AGMs, as well as impact of the Second Shareholder Rights Directive, or SRD2, and a number of other very topical items across Europe and the UK. Then, Paul Guizou, a member of our French research team in Paris, will join us for the first time on one of our Bulletin podcasts to discuss some of the latest developments on environmental issues. So let's get started with Agnieszka. Hi, Agnieszka. Let's start off big picture. Can you give us the high level view of the just starting AGM seasons across Europe and the UK?
Hi, Georgina. The COVID-19 pandemic continues to have a major impact on the general meeting formats and the agenda items on ballot. In 2020, the pandemic forced many legislators to adopt temporary legislation allowing shareholder meetings to be held virtually. For 2021, many of these temporary fixes will remain in effect. In some markets, for example, Belgium and Poland, lawmakers decided to introduce the virtual meeting format permanently. In other markets, such as the UK, virtual meetings remain out of bounds unless a company's bylaws specifically permit it. In 2020, many AGMs for UK companies were held physically, but behind closed doors without shareholder participation. This is likely to continue in 2021, but it has triggered fresh debate in the UK market about the role of virtual AGMs, both in the short and longer term. In one extreme response to the pandemic, the Hungarian government issued a decree stipulating that AGMs cannot be held physically. Instead, resolutions will be approved by the board of directors. Shareholders controlling at least 1% of voting rights in the company may ask for retrospective approval of the decisions of the board.
So beyond the pandemic's impact on AGM meeting mechanics, some governments in Europe have instituted or extended, indeed, rules designed to protect companies' cash and capital, especially in the financial sector. How's that having an impact?
A number of financial authorities across Europe published recommendations or rules in 2020 on the restrictions of dividends and buybacks by financial institutions. In France, for instance, in 2020, the Minister of the Economy required that companies benefiting from state-backed loans or tax payment delays refrain from paying out dividends or undertaking share buybacks during the year. Non-compliance would have triggered the immediate repayment of the loan. Companies that benefited from these forms of help in 2020, however, can pay dividends in 2021 if their financial situation allows. These restrictions were not binding for companies that benefited from other forms of state support, for example, part-time employment scheme, but the government asked those for continuing restraint in dividend payments and share buybacks.
I know April is a peak time for AGMs in some of the Nordic markets, and there's also been a regulatory backdrop, including on capital constraints there too. Can you explain more?
Yes. The Nordic season has so far been characterized by many companies continuing to propose article amendments to facilitate the holding of general meetings, such as proposals to hold virtual only or hybrid meetings in Denmark, or allowing shareholders to vote by mail in Sweden. But there were also regulatory remedies intended to address the pandemic's impact on capital adequacy. In Sweden, for example, the Financial Supervisory Authority announced at the end of 2020 that it expects banks to be restrictive with dividends and share buybacks until the 30th of September 2021, and the total dividends and buybacks by the banks should not exceed 25% of their aggregate net earnings for the two financial years, 2019-2020. Also, the Danish Financial Supervisory Authority has continued to encourage credit institutions to retain as much capital as possible, and it plans to enter into a dialogue with companies about a prudent level of distributions during 2021. The institutions must have a sufficiently healthy capital adequacy after any dividend payments and under severe stress.
And thank you for that. So let's move to talk about the UK next. A number of restriction measures were rolled out by the UK government and industry groups there in 2020 as well. What's the status of those measures in 2021?
That's right, Georgina. In March 2020, the UK Prudential Regulation Authority introduced restrictions on UK banks, suspending dividends, share buybacks, and the awarding of bonuses to senior staff, including the so-called material risk takers, with the aim of conserving cash and reserves. Separate guidelines were also announced for UK insurers, discouraging bonus awards. In 2021, these restrictions have been relaxed as banks and insurers can resume prudent dividends and bonuses. Last March, UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak announced a number of financial measures designed to support the economy during the COVID-19 crisis, including government-funded loans to support liquidity among larger companies and a job retention scheme introduced to reduce redundancies and layoffs resulting from the impact of COVID-19. The job retention scheme has been extended to September 2021 to support furloughed employees and business rates relief for impacted sector, tapers to two-thirds discount from the 1st of July 2021 to the 31st of March 2022. Companies in the retail, hospitality, and leisure sectors also received business rates relief for the 2020-2021 tax year. In 2020, the UK Preemption Group, the representative body which sets the UK market expectations on shareholders' preemption rights, issued a temporary guidance recommending that investors consider relaxing non-preemptive capital issuance limits to facilitate access to capital during the pandemic. However, this guidance expired as of November 2020 after a two-month extension, so UK preemption limits are back to business as usual for 2021.
Great. Thanks, Agnieszka. So let's now turn to executive remuneration, which is, of course, another area impacted, or at least that should have been in many cases, by the pandemic. What are we seeing in Europe so far?
In continental Europe, on the whole, it appears to be business as usual on executive pay. Despite the pandemic, many companies are continuing to pay out bonuses for performance they consider to be strong, even if significantly below previous expectations, and sometimes even directly include upward discretionary adjustments for what they term exceptional performance. SRD2 introduced requirements designed to give better disclosure on variable pay across the EU, but not all companies appear to have met them, especially with respect to transparency around assessments of performance criteria. Specifically, many companies across Europe are still not providing upfront disclosure of performance targets or are not clearly explaining the link between payouts and company performance. For Eastern European markets, in the reports seen so far, disclosures in SRD2 mandated remuneration reports are not aligned with market expectations, especially with respect to the performance framework or how payouts relate to company performance. And there is ongoing divergence in disclosure practices in Eastern European markets and the rest of the more SRD2 compliant European markets. The largest banks in Poland have failed to meet expectations so far, giving complex and incomplete disclosures. Concerns have also been raised about how Polish banks have reflected their often significant exposures to Swiss franc mortgage litigation. Due to that litigation, many Polish banks are expected to need to significantly increase their provisions for individual court cases related to indexation clauses in mis-sold mortgage loans in Swiss francs. This presents real, but as yet unprovided costs for the banks and consequently shareholders. But the banks generally continue to pay out executive bonuses without disclosing in their remuneration reports how this cost is taken into account.
And back to the UK on remuneration next. Last year, despite shareholders being generally pretty understanding during the pandemic, a few high-profile UK companies suffered defeats of their remuneration report resolutions. Are the meetings of those companies expected to create more controversy in 2021?
It is still too early to tell. Just to quickly recap, three companies in the FTSE 250, namely Capital and Counties Properties, Playtech and Wizard Holdings, and one FTSE 100 company, Tesco, had their remuneration reports defeated by shareholders in 2020. Capital and Counties Properties received the highest level of dissent, with approximately 67.4% votes cast against, primarily due to the concerns related to the application of significant upward discretion for bonus awards. The company will be holding its meeting this year on the 11th of May. The remuneration report resolution at Playtech was defeated following concerns around its lack of pay-for-performance alignment, together with a lack of convincing responsiveness to significant protest votes at previous AGMs. Playtech's meeting is scheduled for the 26th of May. Wizard Holdings and Tesco are yet to announce their AGM dates, and we will see how we will see those later in the season.
Those will be interesting to see indeed. And with SRD in full legal effect this proxy season across most European countries, are we seeing any interesting new trends on executive remuneration?
Yes. Several Dutch companies were required to demonstrate their responsiveness to shareholders this year after the proposals to amend their management remuneration policy was rejected at their 2020 AGMs. Two companies that have demonstrated the new SRD2 required level of responsiveness to shareholders are SBM Offshore, whose meeting was just held on the 8th of April, and Wolters Kluwer, which has a meeting date of the 22nd of April. Notably, both companies have extensively engaged with their shareholders after high levels of dissent last year. In fact, Wolters Kluwer disclosed that it had more than 100 meetings with its shareholders in 2020. Two other companies, Flow Traders, with an AGM scheduled for the 23rd of April, and BE Semiconductors, with a meeting date of the 30th of April, also engaged with investors, but we do not consider that concerns that were raised with respect to their remuneration policies last year have been fully mitigated or addressed for the current 2021 cycle, especially in terms of quantum.
That's a great recap. Thanks, Agnieszka. Just before I move on to Paul, if you had to mention one high-profile AGM to watch for in April and early May, which one would it be?
Well, there are a lot to choose from, but Credit Suisse will hold its AGM on the 30th of April in the midst of expected heavy losses arising from the Greensill Capital and Archegos Capital scandals that have stunned the banking world. Company management informed investors that it has launched investigations into both affairs, and a new chairman, Antonio Horta Osorio, the Lloyds Banking Group chief, will be installed shortly. In the meantime, on the 6th of April, the company also published an amended AGM agenda. The new agenda removes the normally routine items on discharge of the board of directors and the executive board. According to the board, it is in the best interest of the shareholders to consider this proposal when the internal investigations into the recent developments have been completed and the outcome communicated. The company also slashed its proposed dividend by nearly two-thirds, from 0.29 Swiss francs to 0.10 Swiss franc, and withdrew its proposals to approve the variable compensation of the executive board, consisting of bonuses based on 2020 performance and the 2021 LTI awards. The company has also announced some high-level executive departures, including the CEO of Global Markets, Brian Chin, and Chief Risk Officer, Lara Barner.
That will really be a meeting to watch. Thanks, Agnieszka. Now, let's welcome Paul Grisou to our discussion and preview. Paul, welcome. Environmental and social proposals, and especially for climate-related areas, have become a red-hot focus area for many investors as they spread across the globe. The numbers on so-called say on climate items change almost daily, but as of a day or two ago, at least nine markets, including in Europe, France, Sweden, Spain, and the UK, featured upcoming climate-related shareholder proposals and or management proposals, with such resolutions making their debuts in several of those markets this year. Looking into agendas for 2021 season that we know so far, what do we see?
Well, as you say, climate change risk will be a top issue to watch in Europe this season, and it may produce some contentious meetings. In 2020 already, we began to see shareholders target a few companies with say on climate requests. Fashion after say on pay, the new shareholder resolutions generally ask the company to give shareholders an annual non-binding vote on the company's climate strategy. The first successful proposal was seen last year at AENA in Spain. And as environmental challenges, climate change in particular, gain momentum, say on climate resolutions are much more numerous this year. In fact, some say on climate resolutions are already being offered as management sponsored proposals at upcoming AGMs this year, including at French company Vinci at its AGM on April 8th, where the non-binding advisory say on climate vote received more than 98% support.
It's indeed a very interesting new development. What are some other early season examples you can highlight for our listeners?
Well, AENA's 2021 AGM, which will be held on April 27th, will follow up on the shareholder proposal approved last year by giving its shareholders their first say on climate vote. AENA's based in Spain and was one of the first listed companies in Europe to publicly embrace a say on climate resolution after its 2020 general meeting. The shareholder resolution was filed by TCI Fund Management, a London-based investor advancing say on climate proposals at different companies since last year. In the UK, Barclays, with an AGM scheduled for May 5th, faces a dissident climate resolution submitted by a group of shareholders requisitioned by Market Forces, which is an affiliate project of Friends of the Earth Australia, campaigning to defend what it calls environmentally destructive projects. These shareholders asked the company to disclose a climate strategy that is consistent with the Paris Agreement, with clear medium and long-term targets to phase out its provision of financial services to fossil fuel projects and companies. The bank is also asked to provide an annual report on the progress made under this strategy, starting as soon as 2022. Barclays was already the target in 2020 of a similar campaign led by the UK charity Share Action. Last year's proposal received approximately 24% support. And in parallel, management backed resolution last year to set a net zero ambition by 2050 received more than 99% of votes in favor. In Sweden, it is H&M, which holds its AGM on May 6, who faces a shareholder proposal to amend the company's bylaws to include an annual say on climate vote. And France is another market to watch when it comes to say on climate resolutions, because three companies so far have unilaterally announced management proposed votes on their environmental strategies. I mentioned Vinci a few minutes ago. It was the first French company to announce that it would hold such a vote on the group's environmental policy, 1 year after refusing to add a say on climate proposal to its 2020 agenda, as its shareholder proponent, TCI, was asking at the time. Shareholders at another French company, Atos, will vote on the company's decarbonation plan at the company May 12 meeting. A similar management proposal is also going to a vote at Total, whose meeting is coming up on May 28. The oil and gas group described this vote as a part of its ambition to reach carbon neutrality and will also propose changing its name to Total Energies to show the strategic engagement. Neither Atos or Total have specified, though, whether these votes are to become annual say on climate items or just one-off consultation of shareholders on the climate strategy. And although these provisions were unilaterally proposed by company management, it's worth noting that, like Aena, Total and Vinci were both targeted by shareholder proponents with environment-related resolutions last year. While the proponents at Total and Vinci were unsuccessful, that kind of proposals have set new expectations across Europe in terms of environmental reporting and voting at AGMs. And it is quite possible that even more say on climate resolutions will appear in the next few weeks as more meetings agendas are announced.
Indeed, and thanks for that good summary, Paul, on this new and very fast moving area of say on climate votes. And are there any other environmental related proposals of note to watch for this season beyond climate?
Yes, the British and Australian mining company Rio Tinto held its UK AGM on April 9th, its first general meeting after the destruction of the Juukan Gorge rock shelters in Australia, which was a thousands of years old sacred indigenous site. The destruction at the site occurred in May of 2020. Following the events and the backlash that resulted, the CEO resigned along with two executive committee members. So the 2021 AGM had to vote on the remuneration of the departed CEO, and questions have been raised on his long-term awards and the application of clawbacks under the company's policy. The re-election of several directors, and especially that of Megan Clark, the chair of the Sustainability Committee, have also been in question. The result of the votes will be known only after the Australian branch holds its general meeting on May 6.
Thanks, Paul. And before we close, let me put the same question to you as I did to Agnieszka. Out of the vast range of meetings coming up in April and early May, which is the one especially interesting item you'd highlight for our listeners?
Well, one meeting I would highlight is that of Suez, the French water and waste cycle management company. The company initially faced a hostile takeover attempt from Veolia, its largest shareholder and French competitor, but there is a very recent update. So Veolia has owned 30% of Suez shares since October 2020, when Engie sold its stake in Suez, and on February 8, 2021, failing to negotiate a friendly takeover deal with Suez, Veolia filed a public offer with the French Financial Markets Authority, the AMF. Until this week, both parties have been battling to prove their points to the regulator and to defend their interest in the media. While Suez was accusing Veolia of endangering jobs and industries in France, Veolia accused Suez of using unfair defensive maneuvers. the French Minister of the Economy, who took up the role of mediator between the two parties, declared itself unsupportive of any hostile takeover. As the fight was expected to carry over to the Suez AGM, on April 12th, the parties announced at the 11th hour that they have reached an agreement in principle for the two groups to merge, with a price of 20.5 euros per Suez share, which is significantly more than the 18 euros per share initially offered by Veolia. The agreement, if accepted by shareholders, provides for the creation of a global champion of ecological transformation with revenues approaching 37 billion euros and the creation of a new Suez owned by a group of shareholders and financial partners of both groups, centered around its water-related activities, with a commitment to sustain long-term development and preserve jobs. The two companies have suspended all legal proceedings and will enter into definitive merger agreements by May 14th. Market reaction to the announcement has been positive so far.
Thanks, Paul. That is indeed a big new development after such a hostile battle and contested offer. And that concludes our April podcast preview look at continental Europe and the UK. Thanks to both our speakers, Agnieszka and Paul, and a special thanks to you, dear listener, for tuning in. We hope you found this podcast useful and informative in helping navigate some of the issues and meetings over the coming weeks. Please do watch your emails over the course of the coming weeks for information on and links to other episodes of this season's Bulletin podcast series, particularly as global events continue to unfold. Our next scheduled podcast will focus on a review of the recently concluded South Korean proxy season. From all of us at ISS, thanks again for listening in, and please stay safe and secure.